Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by the 5-star rated puzzle game, Best Fiends. Best Fiends, play it today free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, one woman wakes up screaming, trying to understand who or what is haunting her house.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call it. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You get access to our advanced episodes, our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week for you, all commercial free, including our audio archive of ghost stories, which is the largest audio archive of ghost stories. It's all of our shows from the past almost 9 years, all up there for you to binge away on ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's going on with you?
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey.
I was just telling Tony a few minutes ago, because my dog is always sitting right here, and he's always like, give me another treat. If you don't give me a treat, it's like I'm being held hostage in a way. Like, if you don't give me a treat, I'm going to bark. And so I'm always like, use your words, buddy. So tonight, I come home from work, I walk him, and then I go outside with my cat and follow my cat around the yard, because she likes to go outside. So Buddy took a bone out there with him. I didn't think anything about it. So come back in. I'm working out, or at least trying to, and Buddy just keeps staring at me. And one point I'm on the ground and he's literally looking like over my face. Like, and he would look at the door because he wants out. And so I'm like, fine, we'll go outside. So we get out there. And I'm like, what do you want? And he starts sniffing on the ground. And I'm like, oh my God, you're looking for the bone. I spent 10 minutes out in my yard looking for a damn dog bone. And I turn around, he's following me. I turn around, he's found it. He's just walking around behind me with the bone in his mouth.
I got it, Mom.
I'm like, at some point I'm working out and he's like, oh, that bone is still out there. I've got to get her attention. I'm going to stare at her until she lets me go out there and get it. And then, like, he's just watching me look for the damn bone. He's like, I got it. Yeah, yeah, it's in my mouth. Here, we go right back here. In now. Kind of. Open the door. That's it. I'm like, the dog. I'm like, just use your words.
That's funny.
He's a good guy. For 15 years old, he's a good guy.
Have you seen some of the dog things where it's kind of learning or teaching them to communicate using like iPads? I mean, kind of like how they also work with, you know, some children with different types of autism that have difficulty verbalizing, where they can just press it.
That's fascinating to me, because I do know some kids, because I work with some special needs kids with a theater troupe. And there's a couple of the kids that are totally nonverbal, but they use iPads and they can manipulate it with their eyes.
Yeah,
there's this little thing that's on their forehead, so they can move their eyes and they can see it, like the word, because it's like we do this show with the kids, and where the kids get to tell jokes and they get to tell the punchline. Mm-hmm. And I did one of those little jokes with the girl, and I said the setup, and then with her eyes and the microphone, she, like, we mic'd her, and she had the punchline.
Yeah.
It was adorable. It was so sweet. Yeah. But I never thought about that with dogs, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Because
dogs know a lot of words.
And it kind of,
you could teach them.
Yep. It's neat.
Interesting.
And I mean, you could do it in all different ways.
My dog, like, he's figured it out anyway. Like, I know how to manipulate her. I can get anything I want from her.
I ain't no fucking
button. Like, right now
button.
He's staring at me because he thinks there's cat food in my bedroom. Because there's sometimes that there is.
Do you like get little snacks at night and like hide it in there or what?
I do for my whole cat. Because she gets up every night at like 3 to 4 in the morning. She's like, meow. And I hand her a little bit of cat food. She's like, cool, thank you. That's all I wanted. 20 years old, I get hungry sometimes in the middle of the night.
Well, as long as it wasn't you that are like, well, don't judge me, but I kind of like it at 12 o'clock at night. Like, well, okay, cat food. Like,
I made myself a sandwich. Here, yeah. You can have your cat food.
This is a bad downward spiral, Carol, if this is where we're starting with cat food for late night snacks. We need to have a talk.
It's like you're high. It's like, but I was so high, it just smelled so good.
Fancy feast, man.
It's like, dude, it's just a little can.
It's chicken and gravy. It's like the real chicken and gravy that you get like from Campbell's. It's a cat on the can. But it smelled like chicken and gravy like grandma used to make. I think that's an eyeball in there.
It's only 65 cents for the can, man.
Dude, you could like feed everyone at Thanksgiving on Fancy Feast. Save a ton.
Do you know how many people have been high? There's people right now who got high and ate cat food or dog food. You know it. There's somebody out there right now going, oh, shit,
I guess, if that's the only thing in your house. And I could see
or
that.
Or your buddies dared you, like you were all high and they're like, eat it. And I'm like, okay, I'll eat it.
I did that to an intern on the air on a Thanksgiving episode. 1 year where we were taste testing animal foods, dog foods and cat foods. So our pets knew that what we could recommend specific ones for people to get for their pets for Thanksgiving. So my intern, we had probably like 10 different cans of all different stuff from Fancy Feast to Elpo.
And the poor guy's like, I just want to work in radio. So he tells me to eat it. This is how I got to get my start. That's okay. I'll do it.
He works in finance now. And
they made him eat cat food.
But he's still one of my best friends still. So, but.
Wink, wink. Or you think, wait until he's like, come over for dinner sometime. Yeah. And you get over there. Next thing you know, you ate cat food.
20 years later. Yeah. You're doing the bit all over again.
His whole life, he's been like, one of these days, the opportunity will present itself.
At gunpoint. And then he made me eat cat food because I made him do it on the air 20 years ago. Make him stop.
I've never forgotten it. How could you?
It's a horror story.
That was very dramatic.
It's a horror story unto itself.
Life is full of horror stories. I cry
every time I see the Fancy Feast cans. Okay, here we go. Here's our first ghost story. It says, here's a little context before I dive into the story. I was 19 at the time of this. My buddy and I had just graduated from tech school, the basic military college where they teach us specific jobs. We got our assignment in Italy. Both of us were stoked about that. When we got there, he had himself a house with his wife, and they asked me if I wanted to live with him and split the rent. I agreed. We're stationed up in northern Italy, Aviano Air Force Base, and stayed in a house at the base of the Dolomites in a small village. The houses here are old, and there are a few completely ruined ones that's right next to ours. From the looks of it, most likely a fire took them out. Our house had been renovated, so it was a bit more modern than the others. The first few weeks went by with nothing out of the ordinary, though I could feel that something was off. I always had the weird feelings of something were watching me. The first night that weird shit started happening, it was mild, just some noises coming from the kitchen, which we presumed were my roommate's cat. Over the next few nights, this progressed into loud banging, furniture being shifted, specifically in the kitchen. This was accompanied by me having frequent, vivid, and extreme nightmares. I'd often wake up screaming and or crying in a cold sweat. I don't remember the nightmares I had. It's a while ago, but I do remember the frequent times where I woke up with sleep paralysis. Those were the worst nights. On one occasion, I woke up to a loud whooshing noise, which continued to grow louder and louder until the point where I couldn't even hear anything but that noise. This was within the span of a few seconds, which I was still paralyzed in. I looked at my feet and saw a dark figure that was reaching for my legs. I fought it off with all my might, but I could not. The figure grabbed my legs and slowly started to pull me off the bed, at which point the adrenaline fully kicked into overdrive, and I immediately snapped out of the trance. As shameful as it is to say, I grabbed a pillow and blanket and slept under my roommate's floor like a toddler. I didn't sleep much after that. My roommates had nightmares too, but nothing compared to what I was experiencing. To this day, I still wonder what was going on in that house that could cause such terror. Thoughts on that?
Lord, I have no idea exactly what would cause that terror, but obviously it did not like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if everybody was experiencing things, I mean, that makes sense. But the fact that there was something about him, it seemed like he got it much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, being too afraid to sleep. Because, you know, it's like, if I fall asleep, it's going to be back and it's going to do something. And then you just can't.
It's going to be worse like, than ever.
That's horrifying. Yeah. And there's just a lot of, you know, like, Italy is just different. And there's so many just, you know, it's not like here where we have all these subdivisions of houses that were built in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of those homes are like 150, 200 years old.
Sure.
And, you know, so my guess is they were living in something that was very old,
mm-hmm.
that had a very rich history. But man, so I went, and it sounds like he didn't say anything about it continuing after he left. So my guess is when he left, it stayed.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, then, you know, I guess the question is what occurs for the next tenants, if you will.
Yeah. Because, you know, something's going to happen to him.
It's one of those where you want to go and knock on the door and ask the questions at some point.
Like, just wondering.
Yeah, exactly. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, the mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends. A while back, I was looking for something to play that could kind of give me, you know, a challenge, but an escape, and, you know, but not feel like I'm wasting my time. And Best Fiends is it. I mean, it challenges you. It keeps your brain going. And it's always good to have those sort of things. Believe it or not, it really is. And so I don't feel guilty about it. And it's so much fun. And yeah, it's a little bit addictive. Okay, a lot bit addictive. But I absolutely love it. You should check it out for yourself. Best Fiends is way more fun than any other matching puzzle game out there. You know, the ones where you just, you know, smash candy over and over? Yeah, it's so much more fun than that. I can't stop playing it. You got to check it out for yourself. Best Fiends always has something new for you every time you play, too. They're updating this thing constantly with new characters, new challenges, challenge your friends, all sorts of fun stuff that you will no doubt have a blast with. So check it out for yourself. Maybe you're like me and have some doubts about finding a puzzle game that has, you know, more to offer than what you think is out there. If you've not seen this, give Best Fiends a try. And don't blame me if you can't put it down. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hey, this is Tyler Simmons. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. The story that I have is kind of weird. Me and my friend have always been like sort of a magnet to the paranormal. We've always just attracted that stuff, whether we liked it or not. Me and a few of my friends one day were just driving around, and we come across this park. And we had the park to the right of us, and we had a straight road ahead. We decided not to go through the park. We just went straight. We drove for a little bit more, taking random turns. We come across the same park, and we just didn't think nothing of it. Still avoided it. Went straight. Did a different turns this time. After a few more minutes, we come across the park again. It's like we were going in circles, even though we were taking completely different routes. Finally, we decided to go through the park. The sun was starting to set. It wasn't dark yet, but we were going through the park. It was a beautiful park. We were driving through it. It was nice. You get to the end of the park, and to the right, there's this really, really small cemetery. It has a small stone wall surrounding it with one single gate. We noticed the gate was cracked open. So we pulled to the side, And we normally wouldn't do this, but all of us had this sort of, like something was luring us to it. Like, I was driving, I don't even remember stopping the car. Next thing I know, we're in the cemetery. We opened the gate and walked in. One of my friends spoke up and was like, "I'm not feeling comfortable, guys. We need to head out of here." So we all began to feel very, very uncomfortable, and obviously we were trespassing, so that we associated that uncomfortableness with that, and we got out of there. Didn't think really much of it. What was it? A couple days later, we're driving again. We come across the park again. We go through it. We drive through it, and we see the cemetery. We pull over again. We walk up to it, and this time the cemetery, the gate is chained shut, and the chains are rusted to hell. And just the way the gate looked, you could tell it hasn't been opened in a really long time. So somehow that chain was gone the day before, and suddenly it's there. And it looks like it's been there for a very long time. But we were all freaking out, and we left. This is a pretty short story. We got more to the story. So if this gets aired, I might call in and tell some more about what has happened. But just wondering what your thoughts were on it. What could potentially lure us, have that effect on us? Me and my friend, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, me and my friend that I said are like magnets, we're still affected by this to this day. There's something that's constantly luring us back to that park, and we don't know what it is. Like I said, there's more stories, more things that happen that I'd be willing to share if I hear this is on one of your shows. I'll call back with updates.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. It's such an interesting thing where you have kind of the time warp or location warp with time. I mean, I can't even say it's really time, but you're somehow looping back in where you're going.
Yeah. And I love that guy because he's like, it's just like your favorite TV show. And you get to the end of the story. It's like, and next week.
Yeah. If you want
and
more.
We're like
yes.
coming like, or this is us. Like in 6 weeks from now, you'll have another episode. I'm like, dude, I wanted to hear more of that. Yeah. Like, because he's like, we've got more stories, but I want to hear this on first.
Yeah.
But I think it was a fascinating story because I'm not familiar with one quite like that with like, I could see what we were just talking about being high, but maybe, you know, like back in the day, kids yeah. drive around the country.
And I got a story. Yeah.
You know, and so I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go get high and drive around the country or anything like that, but let's just say maybe I did that and or not. Yeah. But, you know, because like we lived in the middle of nowhere in northwestern Kansas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that wasn't the case. Like they keep driving past the same park and they think they're going other ways.
Yeah.
And maybe in certain areas of the country, they got windy roads. Maybe you know, that could happen. But it's interesting that you go there and the gates open and the next day you are kind of drawn back. And the gate doesn't look like it could open.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fascinating. But it's obviously like something's trying to connect with him.
Yeah. And the question is what and why? And I do not know the answer to that because, I mean, you could go really dark and it could be something, you know, trying to lure somebody in. But I mean, you could also be, it could be, you know, Uncle Larry trying to get a message to Aunt Sue, who's still alive, about the potato salad that she's about to serve at the picnic this weekend that she left on the counter for too long and is now about to poison her entire family with salmonella. And if she could only get the message from him from the grave, she wouldn't kill 7 members of her family.
Or at least send them to the hospital or give them all bad diarrhea.
Including 3 pets. So
you know, I wonder too, because I think that there's certain people who are, whether you want to be or not, open to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just a different thing about you that's open to it. Other people are just shut down to it.
Yeah.
So maybe whatever picked up on them that they could get through to them. Mm-hmm. Because I would think if you're on the other side, you know, there's some people it's like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And they can't see it. And other people can't seem to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're in the can't seem to shut it off category. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's, now I want to know more, because it kind of stopped where then they saw the gate was totally rusted.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of the story, but
tell me more. So please do call in and share more of your story.
No, he's holding this hostage.
Yeah. Well, he'll hear it close to the 4th of July. So we'll just have to wait a little bit longer. We're recording this on the 4th of May. So,
interesting.
Here's I have a story kind of like this that occurred when I was a teenager. Now, keep in mind, I did not do any drugs. I didn't smoke any weed.
You were good.
I was. I mean,
you were. No, truly, he was.
I would drink, but I would never drive. So I'd never ever done that. None of the above.
Oh, I meant to say about that earlier. I've never done any of that either.
Of course not. No.
I just like Tony.
But I was really strict on that. So I was never behind a wheel on any substance. And that's important because it gets weird here of what happened. I'm 16. I got a car and I'm just enjoying the idea of driving around. So I would sometimes go driving around just out in the country by myself just to kind of explore kind of the creepiness. Because there was one side of, there's kind of a highway that divides the part of the state I lived in. One side of the highway was not too creepy. The other side, for some reason, it just kind of got darker and weirder. And I don't know. It wasn't as welcoming as the other one, especially at night. So I remember doing this and just driving and knowing the direction I was going. I was going due east towards Lake Michigan. And if I would have driven 20, 30 miles, I would have hit the lake. And that was kind of my goal. I'm like, just try to zigzag on these country roads that direction, but keep going that direction. So I'm going and going and going again before GPS. And I remember there's this little kind of corner, you know, bar thing. It's Wisconsin. There's three bars to a town with four houses. And I recognized it, like, okay, I know where I'm at. Keep going this way. And then again, like within 15 minutes, suddenly I'm pulling up to that same area with that same bar. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I think I just drove by this. Kept going. And there might have been, you know, some slight curvature somewhere. Some had have been what happened that will kind of end up putting you back, you know, in this area. And you think you're, you know, making a due turn, you know, left or whatever. And you're really not quite doing that. And eventually you must get worked around. But in my mind, it really didn't seem to make sense because it was just kind of a series of, you know, L turns and going in one direction without any evident curves. So I don't know.
That's weird.
It's really hilly up there, too. So, I mean, there's, I think, a lot of ways you could be disoriented, especially in the night, you know, where you can't necessarily see where a road is kind of curving way down the way. So it only happened to me at night, but I always enjoyed wandering around on that side of Highway 23. If you're wondering which side it is, it's the side from Sheboygan south and up towards Sheboygan and south. Fond du Lac to Sheboygan is kind of a straight line. And and so it's kind of that area.
Sheboygan. Sheboygan?
S-H-E-B-O-Y-G-A-N, I think. The town right next to it is one you'd be more familiar with, even though it's much smaller, Kohler. Kohler Products.
Oh, like the faucets?
Yep. And that is a neat town. I love that town, especially on a foggy-ass day.
They got some money there.
They do, and it's an interesting place because it's super old, because that factory's been around forever. And there's so many neat old houses, just tiny houses. And it used to be how they housed employees, but they're all kept up so neat. There's a neat little marketplace there and there's some cool cemeteries. And it's just, I love to go over there when Lake Michigan quite frequently is very foggy on the Wisconsin side. So you can almost guarantee on a lot of mornings in spring or fall, there's going to be this heavy fog throughout all of Kohler because it's right next to Sheboygan, which is right on Lake Michigan. And it's just enough you can see and drive around safely, but it makes it very Silent Hill-ish and creepy. And I that's one of my favorite places to wander. I don't know, it's because it was a kid when I was doing it, and I like that memory or what, but it's a neat little town.
Sounds beautiful.
It's cool. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this call. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Brewskies. Elle here, sending another story. I think we could probably file this one in paranormal, not so much ghosts. I want to preface my story by saying that in my family, we have a lot of dreams. My mom and aunts have them, and they're occasionally predictive, and sometimes they do reveal things. My dreams are often super vivid, and like a story I wrote in before, sometimes the dreams I have seem to cross over into reality. I wrote in previously about a spirit-filled family reunion that happened in the corner of my bedroom while I was sleeping. This story took place when I was about 10 years old. I had a really odd dream. It was foggy and dark, kind of like looking through a sheer black curtain. In the dream, I was walking around the backyard of my family home. I could tell from my point of view in the dream that I was small, maybe only a couple feet tall. I was exploring, looking around. Eventually, I went underneath our trampoline and I started to dig a hole. In my dream, I knew I was looking for something, but I was not sure what it was. Suddenly, though, I got excited and I caught something. It was small, like a tailless rat, but with a weird nubby nose. It was a mole. And I had it in my mouth. I could feel it wiggling to try to get away from me, and it was a little gross. Then I woke up. And while I have very vivid dreams and a pretty active dream life, this one was not like any other dream that I've ever had. And the feeling of the mole in my mouth actually made me pretty sick upon reflection. It was really gross. That's what stuck with me. But I went downstairs and approached my mom in the kitchen. And I was like, "Mom, I had a weird dream. I dug a hole under the trampoline and I caught a mole." She looked at me funny, like she was processing something. And then she asked me, "Have you been downstairs?" In kind of like an expectant way. And I was a little bit confused. And I said, "No, I just woke up. I came down." And she sort of tilted her head and said, "Okay, I need to show you something." And she led me to the sliding glass door that opened into our backyard. And laying on the mat was the crumpled body of a small rodent with a nubby little nose. It was dead. It was a mole. And my dog Lucky came racing up to the door, and she was covered in dirt and was pawing at the mole, looking up at us for approval, like, "Look what I did." And I was staring at it in shock as my mom opened the glass door, stepped over it, and then she went directly for the trampoline, and I ran after her. When she got there, she looked underneath, and I ran up, and I got underneath the canopy of the trampoline with the dog, looking for further confirmation of what seemed to be happening. And right in the middle of the canopy of the trampoline was a large hole that had clearly been recently dug. We were both pretty shocked. And I remember my mom telling me that Lucky and I must be connected. And being 10 years old, I couldn't think of anything I would want more than to be psychically connected to my dog. In fact, as an even younger kid, I'd spent hours playing with Lucky with my forehead pressed into hers, hoping that I could somehow read her mind. I would look into her eyes and beg her to speak to me. She obviously never did, but I'm so glad that her and I got to share this weird little experience. So anyway, that's my story, And thanks for what you guys do. It's so fun to listen to your stories. And Harper, I love to hear you on the podcast. So thanks for your time, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. So mole in the mouth. That sounds like...
Which is what I'll dream about tonight.
Oh my God. That's just like a nightmare.
But literally, as that story went on, and it was like her being psychically connected to her dog, I'm like, oh my God, that's so me.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's my dog looking at me tonight going, I'm willing you to go outside. And I'm like, I know. Okay, what are we out here for? Oh, we're looking for your bone. And, you know, it's like, I knew. That's mm-hmm. why I always tease him, use your words, but he really doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. But I get that, like, connection, but I think that's so sweet. Like, at 10 years old, she wanted to be psychically connected to her dog. Like, I could not love that more.
No, I think that's great.
Like, putting their foreheads together. It's like, I want to read your mind. Like, that would be so something I would want.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was a kid, this is going to sound really weird, but...
No.
Like, half the shit I say doesn't. But I remember thinking when I was really young, like 4, probably. It's one of my first memories, and I don't have a lot of memories of being a kid, so it's one of my only, I should say. But I remember I had cats, and I was really, really connected to cats. I loved them very much. And I remember petting my cat, knowing what it feels like to be petted there. And I would know, like, I know how good it feels to be petted there. Like, because in my brain, I thought I had been a cat before. And it was like, I know what that feels like. Like, I know that you like to be rubbed right there because I know how good that feels. Like, it was like I had felt that before.
It's a good thing this isn't radio and people can't just, like, tune in halfway through what we're talking about.
Can't tune in and, like, be, that lady is crazy.
Like, what the fuck is she talking about?
But I remember that being super, like, just matter of fact in my brain. Like, but I kind of like hearing somebody else feeling super connected to their pet.
In a
bizarre way. Okay. It is weird.
It is weird. I found the just tuning in at that moment is all I have stuck in my mind. And just me going, what the fuck is
Ghost 103's Love Bug?
Hi, it's Delilah. Carol, I'd like to hear what you'd like to hear for your pussycat tonight.
I want to send this out to my cat.
What would you like to hear?
Because my cat gets me like nobody else does.
That's special. I love when cats get me too. Sometimes
there's a Celine Dion song that would work.
They get me all excited and randy, and I know I love my cat.
I was not being randy, Delilah.
Oh, well. It's okay if you are, because we don't judge here on The Delilah Show. Here's a little special one for you. It's Michael Bolton. Can I touch you there? On Delilah. Or should it be, can I pet you there? Sing it, Michael. Come on, bring it to us.
Oh, be a lion. Be a lion.
I just realized as you're making fun of me, and that's totally fine. I'm used to it. But like I wasn't petting my cat in an inappropriate place.
I know. Petting
my cat behind her ears. And you made it sound all pervy-like.
Well, it was like, I just know how good it is to be pet there. And I just felt I knew just... just like, oh God, taken out of context, this is going to be bad.
Please edit this whole part out.
No, not at all. Oh, jingle out, kids.
And God, I'm crying.
There you go. I found
See if I ever share weird shit with you again. I'm done.
I love playing with jingles on the air. And this is
I didn't know you had the ghost one.
Ghost? I don't have any ghost ones. These are all like...
That's what it sounded like they were saying.
No, it's coast. It's...
I thought you had a ghost. No. Like, listen to it. Play it again. It sounds like they're saying ghost.
Okay.
Play it. California soft rock
with less talk. Ghost one. Oh, yeah. I got to...
It does. I'm like, where did you get that one?
I paid thousands of dollars just to have jingles I can fuck around with.
Who sang that for you?
Yeah. Like, jam jingles. But no.
Oh my God. Yeah. You just got to keep that because it sounds like they're singing ghosts.
There's like 20 coast packages of jingles here. So we're loaded. We can have jingles forever.
Now. But from here on out, they're not coast. They're ghost packages.
Oh, yes. There you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode.
Made me happy.
Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.